Hey everyone, welcome to the Blossom and Brew podcast. I am one of your hosts, Regine L. Sawyer. I'm the coordinating founder of Women in Comics Collective International, and I publish comics over at Lock It Down Productions. And my illustrious co-host is...
Hello, I'm Ilka Pinero. So nice to be with you. All. I am a writer, a shaman, I'm a performer, an animal communicator, and I do most of that under the umbrella of the Ilka Pinero. And I'm so happy to be here.
I'm happy
once again.
Yeah. So how are we doing? There's like a lot of stuff going on this week. It's just Wednesday, y'all. I don't know. I mean, yesterday I thought it was Thursday. Yesterday, I thought it was Thursday. I had to ask my roommate. I was like, yo, is today Wednesday? She's like, no.
Tuesday.
You know, I thought today was going to be Thursday, I should say.
And oh, I see. Right, okay.
No, she's like, no. I'm like, oh, God. I said, okay.
I know, I relate to that. I've been off on the days. I've actually been a day ahead as well. Like, there have been moments where I've had to reorient myself, for sure, in space and time. Which I think just points to the fact that like everything is shifting itself. Like there's a reason we're like, what day is it? You know?
Yeah.
For sure. That feels really accurate and true for me, as well. And so if you feeling it, I feel it, that'd be somebody else feeling it. And you know, I think people are talking about how all the edges are fraying.
Oh my gosh. let's get into it. You know, I like
yes.
Because you have a very, very animated way of describing the events, the state of our our world. You do.
Yeah, of course I do.
So you know, I know we've been on the Twitters and we've just been immersed in a lot of that, as well as just what's going on in the world in general. As Black people.
Mm.
We're still protesting, we're still up in the streets, we're still donating, we're still doing community activism from our homes. So the fight continues and will be continuous. We have to make sure that happens. So what's good, Ilka? What's good?
I mean, what's good with you? You know, I just feel like you know, I'm being a little more mindful right now about
you have a question.
Letting it spit fire. Yeah, I mean, what's good with you? You know, I just feel like, what are we thinking about? You know, like what's on my mind? What's on my mind right now? Like Toyin is on my mind, you know, yeah. What's going on inside our community is really on my mind because I feel like, okay. So I feel like with like whiteness, right? And the people who in their physical bodies, you know, are like more aligned with whiteness, like, you know, that situation. And people who, you know, again, intellectually, emotionally are aligned with whiteness, whatever. Like that sort of the current writing on the wall feels pretty clear to me, you know, like it's like, okay, so this is the part where we're just gonna sort of watch it dwindle, you know, or not. Like we're just gonna start to see the internal organization of the non-Black people who, you know, have like seemingly rushed to like pick up this mantle, right? We're gonna see who puts it down. We're gonna see who like integrates it into their everyday. You know, I don't necessarily know if I've seen really I've seen a couple examples of people who have been able to sort of like integrate anti-racism into their lives. Yeah, it's very unfair to say that I haven't, because I do. I will say I have a handful of people that I see enacting that every day. And I just am interested to see, like, all the others, or how many others or which others will also, you know, attempt to make that transition, you know? Because I do feel like for a lot of them, it is a trend, right? It's totally a fad. They're not really going to change any of their... you know, like operations, you know what I mean? And like, I mean that like interpersonally and then also like corporations and all of that stuff, right? So that's kind of like, all right, well, you know, this is just another wave of this thing. Like this is another wave of like non-Black people giving a fuck, right? And so, you know, this seems like a big wave, like one of the biggest waves that perhaps has ever happened. And so, you know, like everything that blooms must wither, right? So we're just, I think we're just gonna see like who is hardy enough to like stay with it. You know what I mean? Like sort of stay with us. Cause like black people aren't gonna stop. You know what I mean? We can't. So that's kind of where I was like, all right, the white folks. Okay, cool. And like all the other things still remain real and true for me in terms of like staying out of the room while they're dismantling their whiteness as much as possible, you know? And like, how do we engage with them as other members of Earth School, right? Who are here for a reason, like, and also not wanting to like push back against them, and you know, that like, you don't want to turn into your tormentor kind of thing, right? So that's them, the non-black people. So where my thinking shifted to away, it was away from that and toward like, what's going on with us internally? And that's why I was saying it of Toyin. And I'm blanking on her full name now because I haven't practiced saying it out loud because for various reasons, not the least of which is just like emotional upheaval. And just in the past couple of days, like all of this footage that's come out, you know, this sort of like spate, right? Or like uptick of evidence of this argument that we have even touched on in this before about like cishet black men being the white people of black people, right? And some really horrible shit, like a bunch of black men like overwhelmed a woman and like threw her in a dumpster, like a black woman threw her in a dumpster and like recorded it and then posted it, you know? And then how Toyin got taken out by a black man, and just all of these stories we see, and like that whole sort of thread of like social media as the collective conversation, like the dudes that are in the corner just talking about like, just like freely engaging in their misogyny and their misogynoir.
It's horrific.
Yes.
It's horrific on
really
on the
fucking terrible.
You know, I mean, what's so horrific about it, and what I'm responding to is what you were talking about in terms of misogynoir, is that this is something that's not brand new.
Right.
It's
being
filmed.
Right.
You know, but I mean, I remember just coming of age and hearing about stories, like specifically in regards to like the woman that was like tossed in a dumpster, like men doing stuff like that. Like groups of guys just doing dumb shit, terrible shit, misogynistic shit, to women and thinking it's funny. And I mean, specifically to black women, but this is also something that's just rampant misogyny. Like you do this horrible stuff and it's this pack mentality. You know, they really get into it. It's like this bonding experience.
Yeah.
Of tormenting a person that you think is lesser. And I mean, I remember the stories coming out of Freaknik. You remember?
Oh,
yep. Okay. If anybody out there who remembers Freaknik, I don't know if they've still been doing like Freaknik. Whoa. I mean, the stories that would come out, you're just like, are you kidding?
I'm sorry, I'm having a really visceral response.
But you understand, right? Like, I mean, I'm saying Freaknik specifically because and this also touches on the comic book community, because there's been a huge outpouring of folks coming out within the last day or so, just outing specific individuals that have harassed them.
Yes.
And some people have done it individually. Some people have done it in packs.
Yes.
You know, I mean, and we can definitely get to that a little bit later, but, and I mean, the basis of a lot of this stuff, as I've said previously, is like, it's misogyny, racism, and patriarchy, toxic patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Toxic whiteness. You know, I want to be specific. And all of that stems from that, you know?
Would it? Yes, indeed.
All of it stems from that. So when folks are seeing this on Twitter or they're seeing it on YouTube or whatever, like, oh my God, he threw it in a dumpster. I'm like, this is not the first black woman I've heard about being thrown in a dumpster. I mean, no, and you know, We love him.
I don't even know how I laughed at that. Like,
God rest his soul. But if anybody, you know, if anybody watched Purple Rain, a woman was thrown in the dumpster by a group of dudes.
Absolutely. Like, I remember seeing that lately. Or rather, much more recent, well, long after I'd seen it the first time, which was when I was far too young, and seeing it, you know, years later and being like, oh, no, like, there are things in that movie, there are all sorts of fucked up shit toward women in that movie.
In that movie, and it's definitely related to things that are happening now. It's like, when you look at this stuff, it's like, wait, things haven't changed. Mm-hmm. Just as we were looking at, all the black folks that are being killed out here in the streets.
Right.
By police.
Right.
Like, that's still happening. That is still happening. It has not changed. And, this is a little bit of a good segue. I just finished listening to the Dream Defenders broadcast that they did on Sunday with Dr. Angela Davis and a few other folks, and that was sort of one of the topics. It's like, this stuff is keeps going and going on over and over. We ask for reform, we ask for this, and basically we're asking for like a gentler version of racism, a gentler version of misogyny. Like, oh, instead of killing him, don't kill us, but you can bruise us up a bit,
right?
Like, you can fuck us up, but don't kill us,
right?
But, you know, just as long as we don't die. It's like, no, it's like something cannot be reformed. That's why folks are talking about abolishing and abolishment. You get rid of something to rebuild something new.
Right.
You get rid of the status quo. You know, it's not to say, like, let the world be a free-for-all. No.
Right.
that's what the fear is when people hear that. So that extends into that broader conversation. It's like, well, how do you abolish misogyny? How do you abolish racism? Don't make it gentler. Mm. Don't make it cute. Don't make it any of those things. Like, it's necessary to get rid of it. It's like, oh, instead of, you know, tossing her in a dumpster, you know, we just catcalled her. No, 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 no. You know, it's just absolutely, absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, yes. Yeah, for sure. It's definitely not, it certainly doesn't feel sane or balanced to me. I mean, you know, I don't think it feels sane. I would wager that it doesn't feel sane or balanced to anybody who's enacting it, you know, or being enacted upon it, you know what I mean? Energetically. I think about that same story because the person who posted it, I mean, like, their name, their handle is something quite like, you know, feces rat dog. Like, it's something like that. Like, it's something where it's like, like, I'm telling you from jump that I ain't shit. Like, if I saw that, I'd be like, I don't want it. I don't want it. You know, he like posts the story and people dragged him and then he came out and I didn't see like the design details of it, but it just appeared to be like, the sense I get was that it was a still shot from the video of the assault with him just having put like a text box like over it, like on his stories, and the text, it was a long ass text box apology, and I was like, wow, you don't give a shit. And even the apology was like, I mean, you know, I guess it was fucked up that I laughed at that girl and me and my homies was laughing. And I posted that shit because I thought it was funny. But like, real talk though, niggas do worse shit than that. And I was like, whoa. Like, it was really hard to watch and like see, even for the very brief moment, you know, that I saw like a thumbnail of something where someone was like, and this was his weak ass apology. And I was like, that's okay. So we got some stuff. We have some stuff to work out within us, right? So.
You already know how I feel about fake apologies. Like, I don't want to hear it.
I
don't want to hear it. You did what you did. You said what you said. You filmed it. Yes. And then that was bad enough. And then you decided, this will be great. I'm going to post this. You knew exactly what you were doing. You knew exactly what you were doing when those dudes dumped those girls in the dump, the girl in the dumpster. They knew what they were doing. Filming it, knew what you were doing. Posting it, you knew what you were doing. Don't apologize. You did what you did. You said what you said. And now we're going to come for you. That's it.
Right. Well, I mean, okay. So then what do we do So like the, what do we do then about the fact that that's an impulse anyway?
That's the broader conversation.
Right.
That's when you got to sit folks down. Like, we need to sit down. We got to talk about this. We got to talk about why this is incorrect, why this is messed up. We got to talk about why it's important for you to unravel your misogyny. Why it's important for you to keep up with the times. Mm. You're going to be left behind. It's that broader conversation when you got, it's like you got to have to sit down with your cousins. Like, this is why this is shitty. Because no, I mean, and again, this goes into basically all the topics that we just mentioned. You know, we tapped on, you know, I tapped on a bit of the comic book industry, you know, I tapped on what's going on in the streets, essentially tapping on racism, misogyny, toxic patriarchy, and toxic whiteness. Tapping on all of those, like, how do we unravel each one, and why it's important that you do. It's important because you will get left behind. And it's important to us because we're tired of dealing with trash people.
Mm-hmm.
There's no benefit to the community. None whatsoever. What you're contributing is trash. It's not fruitful.
Agreed.
Period.
Agreed.
I'm rough today, y'all. I'm rough.
Get with it, Ma. Get with it. See how it feels. The tables have turned.
No, I mean, it's a get with it. Get with. Take responsibility. Take responsibility. Be culpable. That's another thing they were talking about on
the Dream Defenders.
The Dream Defenders. Thank you. The Dream Defenders. A presentation. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you're gonna get left behind, you know, and not only gonna be left behind, but you know, it's very important that we make those individuals culpable and hold them accountable for their wrongdoing, as opposed to just a slap on the wrist, as opposed to just yelling at them and cursing them out. That's not gonna do nothing for nobody. Like, right. you literally have to be like, no, this is the new order. Right. This is the new agenda.
Well, let's
education.
We'll work on the language. Yes, I agree with you.
But that goes into the thing that happened with J. Cole. What happened with J. Cole?
Some shenanigans. So I believe, yes, you and I both follow No Name. We've been, you know, I think we've discussed them. I think they're great. They have reminded me a lot of stuff, of a lot of like readings and things. You know, they've turned me on to new things and like very self-educated. I think only self like was just like, I'm just gonna start reading all the books. Like, I'm just gonna start reading all the books by all of the like smart black radical minds and, you know, extrapolate my own theories and conclusions. And so she just kind of started this again. This is the way I'm telling this story, right? My experience of it. And then she started sharing her notes. You know, she's like, this stuff is a bit of blah, blah, blah. You know, without any, I mean, she definitely had an agenda and I appreciated, or they, I don't know, girl. I'm just going to, whatever. There was obviously an agenda at play. You know, I will own that, like, it aligned with the, you know, with where my agenda sits. So I enjoyed the content, you know what I mean? And people seemed to enjoy the content. And then I think it was, I want to say it was yesterday or the day before or something like that. But it popped off yesterday, late yesterday, I want to say, because it's still sort of happening in conversation. Also, I haven't even listened to the song because I was just like, what? I have other things happening. Like, I'm in this deep decluttering project. So he put out this song and I read the lyrics to it. I didn't parse it out too deeply, but I read the, oh, great. Read the lyrics and I was like, okay. I mean, is this song speaking to the things she's doing? Yes. Like, I myself don't know of any like previous beefings that may have been occurring that would have made this happen. So I don't know how much like it's just like the group think, you know, and the desire for tea, you know what I mean? And people who like are creatively minded, but perhaps that energy is misapplied, or, you know, or like creating things, you know what I mean? Or even how much of it is him, was him feeling a way about her, you know, and, you know, whatever, like positioning her as a muse for whatever this thing was, you know? So, anyway, so there was this whole dust up about it and people dragged him. And then he did this other thing later today or earlier. At some point, he did this whole tweet of things where he... He's not making any sense, really.
He basically said, I said what I said. That's basically what the thread was.
Kind of, though. Because then there was the part where he was like, she actually reads and I don't. I'm just out here, like, wrapping up nonsense. And I was like, what's happening right now? Like, it just didn't feel particularly... well crafted, you know, which I mean, that might be me expecting too much for Twitter, but that's what I mean when I say it felt contradictory. Like, I was like, what are your points here? Like, do you know what you're saying?
I think he knew exactly what he was saying.
Okay, well then,
I mean in the sense that, you know, maybe Twitter is not a great place to brainstorm
and
figure it out. Yes. I think most folks reading it, at least when I was looking at responses, they just feel like, look, you said what you said, like, you don't read.
Right, that's what I mean.
You want this, you know, black woman to explain stuff to you. I mean, that was the basic gist of what I was reading.
Right.
Explain stuff to you when you can go do the work just like No Name did.
Right. Yes. Well, yes, I have seen that thread, and, you know, I'm sure it's applicable as well.
That's roughly what folks were saying, like, you know, stop it.
Well, then there was also the piece there, too, about tone policing, you know, which always gets my dander up regardless, because it's like, come on now, like, come on. And it reminds me, too, though, hold on, wait, because this is going to connect in a way that I think is interesting. Right. It reminds me, too, of that thing I sent you earlier, that tweet that somebody, quarantine. I have it here. So have y'all noticed when black women say anything, there's always a rebuttal instead of reflection? And I was like, first of all, I don't necessarily know about always. I feel like we can definitely craft that observation to allow for a little more truth, right? But I have certainly noticed that trend, you know? And so it's really interesting because I think it puts us in this like tremulous place almost of simultaneously being asked and positioned to like educate, right? And then also having that education questioned almost without fail. You know, like it's like, wait a minute. it's this interesting, very kind of irritating balancing act.
Yeah.
You know, that I think has gone on for generations, right? It like goes back to the mammy and the blah, 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 and this and that and the whole thing. And even how like, you know, there's some fascinating statistic where the vast majority of HR representatives and managers and things in corporate America tend to be black women.
Yes.
And I was like, ooh, that's gross. Because it's like HR, right? Where it's like you go to be punished, you know, like if you haven't done it, you know? And I'm just like, that can't be a coincidence, man. Like, that can't be a coincidence, you know? And the way the shit is just very, so stacked against us. And like, you know, that thing that Malcolm X said very famously, the thing is, what is it? The most neglected, most disrespected, you know? There's another one in there, like basically just like, yeah,
black women. Yeah.
Right. And the erasure of black women and how it is so insidious, which is why I'm like, yo, black women and femmes to the front. Like, all you motherfuckers can line up, but black women and femmes, you come first. Because I'm you. You is me. We are she. Let's ride. Because people out here really are like, ah, you know?
Well, this again is an extension of white toxicity.
Sure, of course.
Colonization.
Yes.
And misogyny.
Yeah, I was.
It all goes back to the same stuff. It does. Like, as the more we talk about things, whether we're on the podcast or off the podcast, I think about that more and more. Like, it's all interconnected. Like, there's no separation. Somehow, some way, one or two or three or four are touching each other.
Yeah.
In these various situations.
Yes.
And like not believing us, you know, specifically Black women, Black femmes, Black trans women, is an extension of a hate for what is feminine.
Go on.
It's an extension of that. I mean, it's an extension of that. Or what is deemed as a feminine, which can include some gay men. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a hate for that from specifically, like, cis heterosexual men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very, very specific. It's very insidious. And it takes a lot of unraveling. Again, that's my biggest word, unraveling, plus all the other.
You like unraveling and conducive.
Conducive, because I think they count.
Yeah, and I agree. Wait, but hold on, no, I don't want to get, let's not get trailed off in our semantic games. I want to get you back on your point, because you're unraveling a really amazing thing right now. So
no, there's a hate for what is feminine. Because
yeah.
I think within the context of white toxicity and colonization, that is something that they promoted within their culture. From way back to the way back to the way back to the way back. To the establishment of their own countries and spaces.
May I ask you to clarify, just for like precision and also mm-hmm. for people who might be listening, talk a little bit more, please, about like this idea of femininity, because we are very often sold a bill of goods that, like, you know, what an idea of femininity is or should be, or the preferred version, which is like small and thin and blonde and like blue eyes and blah and that hair and like and a little meow, you know. So when you talk about you know, hatred for femininity, I feel like there's a little more distinction that wants to be sort of made there.
I'm trying to see if I can get it, because I'm actually kind of sort of doing my own unraveling.
Yes.
As I'm speaking. I mean, specifically what I was hitting at, and I'll go towards what you were mentioning, was hating what you're attracted to. Hating what you want, hating what you desire, because you feel like what you desire has a power over you, and you don't want that in which you desire to colonize you.
Oh wow! Okay.
Okay. Does that make sense? Like because
yes,
in the context of hypermasculinity and misogyny,
yes,
is colonization. And that, therefore, has given birth to the colonization and enslavement for us and non-Black folks of color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think those feelings extended into the, specifically, like let's say just specifically the cis heterosexual men that were colonized, that were enslaved, that was then like poured into them.
Mm-hmm.
So they can go out into their communities and their world and essentially, you know, pass the poison.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they inherently are dealing with this intergenerational trauma, which it is, essentially. And just passing it on to the next guy, passing it on to the supposed male child, quote unquote, that they've given birth to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's passed on continuously.
And that's a supportive interruption. Well, finish
sure. Please do. No. Go ahead.
Yeah,
no.
So okay. A supportive interruption. Have you heard that little rapper Blueface? I think that's his name.
No. Mm-mm.
Blue Man Group. Blueface Man. I think his name is Blueface. Okay. He's this little cute youngster. And there's this video of him sitting in a car with his son, you know, and the son maybe 3 years old, and he's just teaching him. Like, he's just like, all right, so what do we do when we see
you? Oh, I saw real quick on Twitter and watch it. But
yes,
it's
basically that. And it's just mm-hmm. this, like, you know, very young man who has whatever career he has. And you can tell that things are arrested, right? And then he's teaching an even younger boy will eventually, you know, like, it's just like, it's like, like, the image I'm seeing is just people drinking from a well that is growing, like, more and more polluted.
Yeah.
Like, the well is not, you know, like that, or pouring into, or something about, you know, the source. Yeah. Like, the source of the information is becoming, besmirched in some way or something. It's just not as, yeah, I'm not sure. I might be unraveling as well, but it feels dire.
It's passing the poison.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you want to minimize the poison that you've put out, or the dosage, because as I was like looking at tweets yesterday, or folks responding to, the allegations of like women and non-binary folks and some male folks who were saying like, look, like this happened to me, like this person touched me, or this person disrespected me, this person harassed me, this one person stalked me. And you know, there were some guys up there, some dudes, white dudes, I said what I said, this heterosexual male dude, went up there and we're just sort of like, oh, well, you know, like, well, what can we do? Like, what do you expect us to do? Or, you know, that, you know, that's what this happens in this industry, or, you know, like, I can't do anything for you. It's like stuff like that. It's like, well, yes, you can. Like, you know, this stuff is going on. You see it with your own two eyes. You possibly have done it yourself. Someone is telling you they don't like it. Don't do it. But better yet, because that's the band-aid.
Right.
You need to unravel why you're doing it, why it's important, why it makes you feel good to try to dehumanize somebody else.
Mm.
Because the specific complaint outside of just the sexual harassment and so forth was grooming.
Mm.
Like, you had these young ingenues that are, you know, looking to learn more about the industry, that are, you know, seeking guidance, seeking mentors. And instead of a mentor, you get somebody that who you admire that is a pervert. You know? And they, you know, they don't want to teach you anything except something that's sexual.
Right. Ew.
And just how it's just so rampant in the comic book industry. Mm-hmm. That was discussion. It's like, nah, there's no excuse for that. That's gross. That's disgusting. That's a minor. You need to be in jail. To be specific. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to be punished. You need to be held accountable. You are culpable of your misbehavior.
Mm.
So it's that broader conversation of unraveling. It's not just, hey, you don't do it. Because other people hear in their mind when you say that, don't get caught. Like, they hear don't get caught, as opposed to don't do it. It's disgusting. It's reprehensible. It's wrong. They need to unravel why they're doing what they're doing. And they need to be held accountable. That also goes for non-cis heterosexual men that are doing it. Too.
Mm-hmm.
Which I made mention in a tweet that I did, but we can talk about that later.
Well, I mean, I feel like, why not later? Let later be now, you know? Well, yeah, I mean, hey, it's later, you know, we've been here for a while. We're warmed up in the mid. Sing with me for a couple notes. Ooh. Yeah, girl. Oh, really? You just gonna have me out here squawking by myself?
Yeah, ooh. I am.
No, woo! All right. But so, tell me, please, catch us up on this comic book situation. Hold on, before you get into it, because yours is, I think, richer than mine. Have you seen, okay, just quick sidebar for Petty. Have you seen also on Twitter a whole of the allegations that are coming out about that, like, one sort of like B-list comic, stand-up comic turned actor
with the pointy face?
His name is Chris something or other. Oh, yes, let's leave it at that, because I don't know what's libel on this bitch. But and the thing that's amazing to me is that I've encountered him over time, like, for some reason, I've known that is a person who exists in the world of entertainment for quite a few years now. And I think it's because every time I saw his face, I was like, I don't like his face. Like, there was something about it that just I found repellent. And then the what, joke was, yes, what?
Did he look like Sidewalk Karen?
Yes!
The white lady that was trying to stop that Filipino man from...
Yes! From, he does have a real Sidewalk Karen vibe in his whole face.
Black Lives Matter on his wall.
Of course. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes. You know, I posted about her. Lisa Alexander with her stupid-ass face. Whatever. She might have great face products. I don't know. I'm not ever going to fuck with them. Anyway, so the point is that that happened. So there is a wave as well, you know, that's trickling in other places where it is like a lot of, you know, like masks are coming off. So, and it's intersectional, I think, in that like we're seeing it in these quote unquote more like white dominated spaces. And then we're also seeing it again in more white dominated spaces and also in the context of, you know, like, Black Lives Matter, you know, like it's all these companies being like, Black Lives Matter, and all of these employees being like, do they know? Because my black life didn't seem to mean shit to you, right? and you know, so that wave of like, just the like calling out wave and just being like, you know what, like, I'm no longer going to stand for you, you know, purporting to be just like, you know, just marketing falsehoods and inauthenticity. Like, how dumb do you think people are? It's insulting. You know, so I say all that to say, let this be the lobby over to you. Spill tea, girl. That's the ball coming over on your side.
Well, I don't even know if it's tea. It's just facts.
I mean, tea can be facts.
Well, that's true too. That's true too. Well, I decided to sort of throw my hat in the ring, mainly because for like women in comics, the whole point of the organization was for people to feel safe.
Yes.
Especially just all women across the board.
Yes.
But especially for all women of color.
Yes.
Because the spaces that I was familiar with, I didn't see a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
I either did, you know, the first few members that we had, we weren't, you know, we weren't a part of the conversation like that. You know, when I would go to events, someone thought, people would think I was someone's girlfriend.
Right.
You know, so someone's fiance. So, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm not.
Yeah, there would be nothing wrong with it if it were true.
But I'm, and, but yeah. I'm not, you know, right. And that had always been like the issue, like sort of kind of in the beginning. And there would be like men specifically within the Black comics community that would kind of act like that's what I was to them. And I was like, nah, son, I'm not. Like, that's not happening. Like, you know, I didn't have to put someone in their place like someone was coming on to me, but specifically like get real close to me or, you know, like kind of like, you know, you're introducing me to people and you got your arm, you're trying to put your arm around my shoulder. And then I have to say, I'm the editor or I'm the writer. Like, no, like that's not what's happening.
Don't like that.
Yeah, man. And I'm a pretty vocal person. So if something happens around the spot, like I know specifically in my interactions with cis heterosexual men, you know, I like to preface it. You got to say something right then and there, like in public. Like that had been my experience. So that's what I would always do. If someone was, if there was doing something I didn't like, I say it just right then and there. And I know folks mm-hmm. were just like, oh, she a bitch. And I'm like, I don't give a shit. You want to respect me today. Whatever you call me, I don't give a fuck. You're going to respect me today. You know, you're going to respect me today and always. So that had always been my experience, but the experience of a lot of other members was just much more graphic, mm-hmm. you know, to a larger extent. So my goal was to make sure that, okay, we're going to have this organization. We're going to have spaces that are safe for us to be. So we're going to make those spaces. So that's when we started having network events and parties, and especially when the membership started growing. It was just like, okay, here's a safe space for you to be, to network. You know, we'll, you know, invite a whole bunch of people, whoever comes, and you feel good, you feel relaxed. Like there's nothing like seeing like a group of women who are at peace. There's nothing like it, and just having fun and laughing and chilling. Like there's nothing like it. It's the most beautiful thing. Like, it warms my heart when I see it, when all women are just happy and they're in their joy. And so that was always highly important to me. So in the tweet, that's basically what I was talking about. And I also talked about the fact that we've had incidences where there were, like, we had individuals that were harassing, stalking our members. And I've literally had to remove people from events.
Yeah.
Myself. You know, whether it was physically, whether it was dude, you gotta go. You out. Bye. You know. Whether I had to send out an email or a note or something, you know, like, no, you're not allowed to come to our spaces. You know, even to the extent of some members who had, they themselves had misogynistic tendencies, you know, or a harassing state of being. And I had to be like, yeah, your membership is revoked.
You can kick rocks as well, Sheila.
Yeah. Basically, and, you know, I had to be really prayerful about that, because in my mind, I also have to think about my safety. I have to think about other people's safety. But I'm like, look, I'm going to stay prayerful on this. I'm going to be all right. Yeah. And as I always say this, but a lot of people don't necessarily hear me say it, but we definitely say it within the membership. Like, we're a little bit rough and tumble. Like, we're a little bit rough and tumble. Like, we are not afraid to stand up for each other or ourselves. So if we're in a group, like, we're ready. Like, oh, who are we removing? It's just that, it's like that simple. Like, what are we handling? Because we're going to handle it right now. That's what we do as a group. So there's no, well, maybe not, maybe so, but wait, there's none of that. It's like, what are we doing? It's very, very clear. So yeah, it was very important for us to have safe spaces, but also it was also important that if we went to large events, like large conventions, that we went places in a group, you know, and it wasn't planned like that. It was like, oh, are you going to go, you going to such and such party? Oh, is this party happening? Oh, why don't we all go? So when we all would go, and we would go like as a clique, like, I mean, it'd be like sometimes like 15 of us, 10 of us, like it'd be a large amount, you know, and we would stick out because we would be like the only folks of color walking through the space. So we would stand out, and people would be like, okay, don't mess with them. They're all together. Because not only are we there, we take up space, we're laughing, we're enjoying ourselves. We bring our safety with us. We bring our protection with us because we're a family, it's community. So that's our way of sort of saying we're going to unravel your shit, whether you want it unraveled or not. You know, like, we're a package deal.
And right.
You know? And then I also spoke about in the tweet how, like, yes, like, some of our members have been harassed by serial harassers in the industry, and most of them have been cis heterosexual male. Well, guess what? Some of them aren't. Some of them aren't, you know, and I've said this on previous podcasts, that a lot of my negative interactions that I've had have been with white women. It has not been, you know, with specific, like, cis heterosexual men, like, not specifically. Like, usually when, like I mentioned before, like, it's just this, you know, someone wants to act like you're with them. It's like, buddy, I'm not. You know? And you know, my personality is pretty much known at this point. So it's like, yo, leave her, don't even. Like, don't even. But, you know, people don't need to do that. Let's just be able to be chill. Let's be able to live in our skins, be at ease, be at peace, and just, you know, do that thing. I mean, let's just be that, you know? Like, it's like, yes. Let's just be whoever we are. Like, you don't have to be a quote-unquote stereotypical, you know, strong woman. You don't have to be any of that. You don't have to be any of that. Just be you. You should be able to be you and no one bother you. So I just want to preface that. I just want to preface that. Hands down, you know, nobody should prey on you. But I did want to make it clear, like, yo, like, some of us have had incidences with people outside of the heteronormative.
Oh, God, yeah.
like some of us have had that, in, like including myself. So I just wanted to make that clear, because I was seeing like folks that I know have come at me sideways, tweeting about how they've been through all this stuff, and I found it fascinating in the sense that here folks were victimized, they were hurt and harmed in a horrendous way, and then now, after experiencing all that trauma for X amount of years, you're dishing out the trauma to others. You decided to pass the poison, whether you realized it or not. You know, whether it's, you know, based in racism or misogyny. In my case, it's based in racism, misogyny, specifically white toxicity, white woman toxicity. So you made that decision. But here you are, you know, Grant saying, like, this happened to me, and this was awful. This has been happening to me since whenever, you know. And I'm just like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. There is compassion in my spirit for you, because that's really, you know, fucked up. But look at who you've become.
Right.
And then after I posted that, I found out that this specific person, because there's been others, but this specific person has done other stuff to others. In a very hyper-racialized, misogynistic
Bring
way.
It. Come with it now.
You know? So
you opened the floodgates.
I did. Because then other folks were like, wait, is that? They're like, oh, this happened to me. And this blah, blah, blah. And this.
Yes.
I'm like, okay. I'm like, all right.
Bring it to light.
Because I did think about it. Like, do I really want to put this out there? Do I really want to say this? You know, I didn't name names, you know, because at this juncture, I just didn't feel like that was necessary.
Right.
But the fact that, you know, people could see that and kind of get an idea and be like, but, you know, because I had this experience and I saw that and I thought that was odd. And, you know, this was, you know, I was taken aback. This person approached me this way, you know, and it's just a reminder that you're not alone. Like, people do stuff and they think that no one's going to talk to them about it, or they don't realize that, you know, it's just going to get out. So yeah, that was my tweet, and I wish that person healing, true healing, because again, we can't go on like this. And if you don't take the time to figure out what your trauma is and truly work on unraveling it, you're going to get left behind. Because again, there's compassion for what people have gone through. There's empathy. Definitely. I have empathy. But you can't let someone continue this vicious cycle of poisoning the population. You can't. And then there's some folks that, yeah, no, you don't get empathy. You did what you did. You said what you said. You behaved how you behaved. You touched who you touched.
Right.
You assaulted who you assaulted. Now we're going to handle you. So you better get with the program. You better get with the program. And better yet, maybe you need to find another job.
Right.
So, yeah, that was mine.
That was mine. There's not, like, everything feels so, I don't know, destabilized. You know, when you see the movies, when you go to the movies, the sort of action-y movies, and, all right, I'm going to see if I can express what I am experiencing. It's like when the sonic boom goes off, or when, like, you know, the sound wave from the explosion, like, moves its way through the space of people, you know? And like the camera goes slow motion, and it's that moment where everyone simultaneously is off their feet, right? Because like that's where you are in like the breaking wave of the explosion or whatever the event is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Are you seeing what I'm saying? Okay, good. Yeah, it feels like that. Like it feels like we're in that space, or even a more gentler metaphor is when you're seeing a dog or a cat walk or something, or they're doing that cute little trot run they do, and their person will catch the picture of that moment where all four of their legs are off the ground. It kind of feels like that, right? That's a gentler version of it. And it just feels like time, because of all of the things we're dealing with, you know, in many realms, you know, because what's happening in the other realm, whatever's happening here on Earth is happening in those other realms. It feels like everything is slowing down so much that it's almost like it's not moving, and we're just in that space of just all 4 feet off the ground, you know, or in that space of like, it's this really elongated, elastic experience of like the time before everything comes crashing down, and then you sort of have to like rebuild from that rubble. Feels like that.
Well, I have a similar analogy.
Which shows this girl?
Well, my analogy is the cotton field.
Say more.
Now the cotton field, and this extends into what you were saying. Like, if anyone knows anything about cotton, I learned this in I think elementary school and in junior high school, that cotton is the type of plant that takes every nutrient out of the ground. Every nutrient.
Greedy bitch.
And if I'm not mistaken, every time there's a new harvest, you have to basically get rid of those old plants. Basically, you just have to get rid of those old plants, and then you have to replant something else that is heavy nutrition. Okay. So basically, the cotton season is over. You have all of this like mess, like dead ground, basically. And in order to get the nutrients back in, I think one, yes, you have to turn over the soil, and then you have to add another plant to it so that the ground can get nutrients again. So after the harvest of that plant, then you can put cotton back.
Yeah.
So basically, you harvest the seeds that you're harvesting, and when those seeds take every nutrient out of the ground, everything, depletes everything, you got to plant something new.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have to plant something brand new, and that's sort of how I look at abolition. You know?
I like it.
Every nutrient has been taken out of the ground. You know, you can't supplement it. You know, you can't like put cotton on one side and then corn on the other. Like, you got to completely redo the ground. The ground has to be turned over completely. The cotton plant has to be removed completely. And then you got to put in another plant. It's like you literally have to start from scratch. You know, you can't just play with what's already there, because mm-hmm. already there is not working, especially mm-hmm. for the ground, for the structure, for the foundation. You can't just put a Band-Aid on it.
Girl.
Want to take a breath on that? A deep breath?
I just did. I was like, you know, let me just...
just breathe all in?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just breathe it all in. Like, just take it. You like, just take it all in. And I'm passionate about that. I think it's very important to like evaluate your situation, whatever it is, especially when we're talking about like racism and patriarchy and misogyny and toxic whiteicity. Gotta abolish all of it. Getting my words together here, guys. It has to all be abolished. It all has to be removed, and that takes a lot of time, a lot of dedication. And yeah, there'll be folks who are pretty comfortable in doing what they're doing.
Right.
And there's some folks who, yeah, they are ignorant to the fact that they're doing it.
Right.
You also have to keep that in mind. And, you know, I hear the folks that were coming at J. Cole and like, yo, we don't got to teach you nothing. I feel that. I can't say that I don't. At the same time, I'm just like, yo, I don't want this man and other men like him. Because people are saying, like, he's like a soft misogynist. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that gentle massage is misogyny. There is a certain degree, God, I hate saying this, there is a certain degree of teaching that has to happen if people are to move forward. Even if you've given somebody a crumb and they decide to go pick up the books themselves, mm-hmm. they have to be steered in that direction.
I'm with it.
I mean, again, it's like, I'm not for it, because, you know, we as Black people in general are looked to as folks that have to explain everything. We got to explain it all. Mm-hmm. You know, it's aggravating, it's tiring, it's exhausting, especially with that we got to do it with each other.
Yes.
That we got to do it with each other. Like, it's a problem. Schooling people is a problem. And, you know, the LGBTQ plus Black community has been in the midst of that, as well as cis heterosexual Black women.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like I got to teach somebody after you tried to kill me. You got to hurt and harm me. Like, it's exhausting, it's tiring, and it's traumatic.
Yeah.
But to a certain extent,
yeah.
To whatever extent it is, even if it's a crumb, even if it's a particle, even if it's a molecule, the seed, there's a seed that has to be dropped. Like, even if it's a flippant remark, let it be a conducive flippant remark to make somebody go, wait, what? Well, let me go look that up. Mm. something. But that's just my two cents.
I mean, I get the sense. I'm feeling the sense. We're going to see. I'm just so interested in, you know, I think also too, in addition to all of the, you know, attributes and characteristics that I think we're being invited to really kind of rigorously cultivate in ourselves, that other one that I, you know, I always go back to is like creativity, you know? How do we align ourselves with imagining a new world and envisioning a new way, you know? Like, how are we creative enough to hold space for the parts of us that are like, yes, abolition, and also, you know, what does abolition mean in the context of like a dude like, or dudes like the dudes that, you know, threw that girl in the dumpster and videotaped it, you know what I mean? Like, the part of us that wants to be like, we'll fucking call the cops on them, you know? Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, how do we find balance for that, and how like, it's that thing we've been talking about for a couple weeks, and it started with the white folks, and really, I feel like that was with you. It might not have been. It might have been one of the other conversations I have with people, both embodied and non, about how even for us, like, even for Black people, it's such a, again, going back to that thing where, like, all four legs are off the ground, or all our feet are off the ground, right? Where it's just like, oh, what do we even do with this, like, influx of, like, illumination, you know, and all of this time to, like, really see how brightly this light has been, you know, demanding to be shown onto these ills, right? And onto these ailments, you know, onto these infections, like, with which we're all, you know, afflicted or whatever, working or healing, depending on where you are on the spectrum of choosing, right? So that's what I find most brightly destabilizing at this time, and also, like, cyclical. Like, you know, I get into these patterns of like, okay, well, you know, all right, well, if we're all in our school, how do we hold space for each other? If we get to be here together, and there's a reason why we're here together, and no one is more or less important than no one else, right? How do I reconcile that with the parts of me that are just like, they're useless and I don't know why they are?
That's a lot of, I mean, I'm going to take this from like a lot of your meditations that you do. Like, yes. That's a lot of third eye and crown chakra business. Like, you literally have to be in your most objective
yes
state of being.
Yes.
You literally have to be in your most, yeah, really, your most objective
state
of being.
And that is, how challenging is that? You know, how much more of a, like, as challenging as that is, regardless of who you are, how much more challenging is that when you're in a vessel, right, that according to, you know, the rules, like the established rules of the simulation we're in or the game you're playing, you know, it is afforded that so less often, like it's afforded the opportunities to like become completely neutral, you know, and like it's afforded the security in those lower chakras, in their bodies, you know what I mean? To really like go on these flights of fancy. It's like the stuff that you and I talk about in friend space. When I go, you know, and have my undercover sting operations, you know, and you talk about the people that are like chasing oblivion and all of that. And it's just like, that just sort of proves to me that there's disruptions to our, like everyone is experiencing disruptions in their, what I believe is like, you know, a source afforded right, like a birthright to be able to enter the safety and security of your realm of infinite possibility and create, you know, whatever the fuck you want, you know, and like, hopefully being in there will have you do it in such a way that it involves energetic responsibility and compassionate neutrality, yada, yada. Right. And so it's like how, you know, it just feels like another thing with which to contend in another way. It's like another like example of the cyclical pattern where it's like, all right, I want to, okay, like, all right, yes, I really enjoy being in that place. Like, I really enjoy running around with the angels and, you know, the ancestors and being like, tell me what's good, right? And then, you know, you come back into, like, the human realm to, like, share that information, and then that feels stalled because of all the things we talked about, where it's just like, women don't believe, people don't believe Black women, right? And then also you go out into the world, and then there's like the polyvagal response and the epigenetic thing of like the way racial weathering and all that shit. And it's just like, you know, are we, I mean, I think people are like, what's your greatest fear? And one of my fears is like just being trapped in this feedback loop of like that bullshit, you know, you know, for like this lifetime and like perhaps others, because it's just like, I don't know if I feel like I probably have done this before.
Well, that's because I think you're unraveling, you know, the things that you need to do or work through, mm-hmm. or figure out. I'm doing the same thing. I'm unraveling as I'm, you know, talking to everyone out there.
Right. Right.
Talking to you. Because even as we're talking, I'm like, okay, was my language inclusive enough? Did I say this? Did I say that? Who did I miss?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I try to preface my language with like all Black people.
Right.
You know, or if I'm going to say all non-Black people of color, or even all white people, like, you know, or all people, period. You know, I want to make sure that my language is inclusive enough, but also making sure that I say people specifically, that I say cis heterosexual Black women or cis heterosexual Black men, the LGBTQ plus community, specifically, you know, trans women and trans men, you know, and make sure I speak of, you know, disabled Black folks or disabled non-Black people of color, and be very specific about my language, because we all are within this community.
Yes.
You know, it's that. It's like, let me unravel whatever needs to be unraveled so I can be a more conducive member of society. Because again, just to go back quickly to when I was talking about my tweet, And just real quick, just that when I'm seeing like these, you know, tweets from whoever saying what they're saying, and then it's, I see hashtag believe women, but I guess hashtag don't believe this Black woman.
You know what? You know what I was thinking about? This is a hysterical experience.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Actually, now I know why this has been circulating in my brain for the past couple days. So remember when all of the bullshit was coming up about Harvey Weinstein, like all of it, you know, when it was just like, and like those floodgates opened.
Yeah.
And remember he ain't say shit about shit except for Lupita Nyong'o.
Yes.
Excuse me. I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking like I was washing dishes or something. And I just like that little detail of that whole circus, which I didn't really follow too hard. Cause like what, that was not news to me. Right. And I was like, there's enough going on. For me to have bandwidth for that. I remembered that piece where he was just like, nah, blah, 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 Lupita Nyong'o. And I was like, really? You took time out of your busy schedule of being an absolute rat piece of shit when you have like women of like binders full of white women coming out here saying shit, but the one thing that you're just like, nah, I would never, is Lupita Nyong'o. That's a real specific, like, you know, like hidden pocket.
Yes.
Of like intersectional, just like oppression. You know, like, I was like, wow, look at that. Like, look at that. Look at that, like, invisible ink line on the note of the list of names. Like, it was really interesting to me. And no, that's a lie. It wasn't interesting to me. It actually seemed really typical. And I was just like, wow, they can't get away. They can't. It's so, you know, it's so entrenched in him that, like, they never, at no point did he or any of his advisors, if he has them, I don't know who can say, thought to or had the capacity. It's so fucked up to even think about it, but, like, or even had the capacity to sort of, like, not take the extra step of dehumanizing the black woman even more than they had dehumanized all the other women that he had hurt.
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense. God's just like, damn, that's extra. And then the other thing that I was contemplating was, in terms of the erasure of black women in general, was how Me Too itself was started by Tarana Burke, like, what, going on 12 years ago now?
Yes.
And it sort of, like, trundled along, you know, and, like, had its, you know, was, like, useful in certain circles. And then Alyssa Milano came and scooped it up and waved it around like a motherfucking flag. You know, totally, like, just, like, through, was just like, oh, look at this thing I found. It's ours now. Yay! You know, and the way she turned, like, how problematic she just, you know, proves herself to be continuously, time and time again, she'll come out and just say some dumb shit. You're just like, oh, you're not the boss. You're not the boss, Alyssa Milano. You never were. You're not now. Okay. And she's one of the ones that makes it that, like, she is a hope stealer, you know? She's one of the ones where it's just like, well, we're never getting out of this. If you motherfuckers we got to deal with. So that thing and how, it feels more and more to me. It feels more and more to me. It feels like it's crystallizing even more, you know, in this year, in this time, that there is a specific and precise and unique healing that black women and femmes specifically, right, are requiring, are deserving, just on all the levels of the thing. Like, it's just like, all right, Malcolm X told us what the situation was, right? So how do we come together as black women and femmes to solution find, you know, about this situation? That one of our elders, in a moment of great divine, like, patriarchal protection, was like, hey, y'all, you know, what if he was talking to just us? Like, what if he was like, listen, babies, I know this is going to be hard to hear. And shit being the way it is, like, this is the lot y'all have. And you also have all of these other things, you know? So,
I mean, I received that. I just want to say that I received that. And I very much feel like we have to protect each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, I can't depend upon these
right
certain members of the black family.
I remember
I was gonna say it like that, like I can't, because as bearing witness to behaviors from various age groups, whether it's on Twitter or in person, even when I, you know, when I was talking about going into spaces and someone trying to act like I'm their girlfriend or what or whatever,
right?
Like, it's like I have to trust my femme fam.
Yes.
That's where the majority of my trust lies. Although I haven't particularly felt unsafe specifically, like, especially in black comics community spaces. I want to preface that I've never had that specific feeling, but just in general, my black femme fam.
Yeah.
My black and brown femme fam. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Black women and femmes to the front. I mean, it just feels very right for me to say that again, some more and louder. You know. And I'm feeling real nice about you know, in this moment. We'll see how long. We'll see how long it takes before the itch to like expand and do more comes, because that's only quiet for the moment, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying this like being a conduit of mutual aid, you know, like the people that are opening their purses and just like I put this on the social medias where I just received this influx of money, you know, like no questions asked, didn't really have to tap dance for it. It was just like, here's this money. And there was none even instructions to do anything with it. It's just the money. From a loved person who was working to become an accomplice. And I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and turn this around and throw it in and like have it become some sessions. And I had been like conjuring that and dreaming that and really wanting that to be, you know, a real thing. and it seems to be happening. And
didn't you like, aren't you sold out? Like you offered on Instagram and they're like all gone. Because I know I shared it. I shared it in my story.
Yeah, no, it happened.
Like, after I shared it in my stories, it was like, wait, it sold out.
Yeah, it happened in the quickness. But actually, we even got, so it started a trend. So that was a pretty big influx. And then I've had like smaller, but a pretty consistent trickle just in like the one day. So I'm actually going to put a thing up because like we can open up two more. So it's just sort of like, you know what, I'll be like a little one person love lamp for the moment, you know, because I think like, why not? Like, why can't that be a way? You know, why can't it be a way? You know, if somebody has like $1 million, like give me 10 grand and let me work the shit out. And part of it, yes, is trust. Like, I mean, I know I'm not out here grifting nobody because I actually give a fuck. And, you know, I think we have to get creative. I think we have to get creative, and I think we have to work outside of, you know, the usual channels, because we're also learning that a lot of those usual channels, you know, can't necessarily be trusted. And it's really easy for in the flurry, right, an onslaught of information and all the things that are coming at us so fast, black box bonanza, ahem, you know, it's really easy for like, you know, bad actors or infiltrators or whomever, or just people who just have a different agenda, you know what I mean? To sort of like ride those waves and kind of slide in disruptive in information, you know, that thing with like we talked about this, I'm sure we did, the Black Lives Matter Foundation and how it went. And I want to say this is true. I think I finally have the information right. It's like the Black Lives Matter Foundation, in actual point of fact, funnels into an Act Blue subsidiary, which is like the Democratic Super PAC, no?
Yes.
Right. So that thing happened. They got all this money, and all the BLM like organizers were just like, hold on, we're not involved with that. And it was just like, oh shit, look at that. Like they got up, you know, like I was just like, that's like, look at the scheme, you know? And it's because people are so overwhelmed and so tired and I believe so disconnected, you know, from any ongoing conversation with their intuition, with their higher selves, that, you know, it's so easy to get taken in. It's how it feels.
That can be true. I mean, I also want to preface that a lot of other organizations received a large influx of money and they weren't grifting. The banks were looking at them like they were crazy, like, where does money come from?
Yeah.
And it takes a while, especially for smaller nonprofits to be able to disperse money the way they would like to, because when a whole bunch of money comes in, you got to get a lawyer, you got to get a financial advisor, because the banks are like, yo, like, you laundering money? Like, what's good? which that's what you want them to do. But I mean, if anybody has watched the Dirty Money series on Netflix, they doing that to some of the wrong people. Like there's some other folks they really need to be doing that to. But that and they actually have a whole episode dedicated to that. But that's another story. But no, like some folks they have to get themselves financially right with their institutions in order to properly disperse the money.
Yeah. Yes, thank you so much for making that distinction. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what, let's wrap it up. And like, let's wrap this up going back to empower yourself to do your vetting, to do your independent vetting. And yeah. I'm saying that to myself too. I actually got very gently dragged today by one of my favorite energy workers, Flow Frequency. She's at flow.glow. Let's do some slight plugs. Let's do some plugs of our favorite Black woman, shall we? Yeah, she's at flow.glow, FLO.GLO. She's on Instagrams. She's a goddamn genius. We met some years ago during the Black Wellness Reparations Clinic, and I'm just so grateful to know her. Speaking of keeping your mind creative and flexible, she's like young enough to be my daughter. And you know, like there's a 50-year-old woman inside of her, and there's like a 23-year-old woman inside of me, and we just meet in the middle. And I say all that to say, you know, we out here, like there are options. There are options for access to your like indigenous healing, your unique, you know, intuitive vocabulary, to access it, to become clear about it, just to be able to make those decisions about, like, you know, or trusting those parts of you that are just like, this organization, this person, this food, this party, you know? So I say all that to say, she, damn it, I lost my train of thought. What was it? She was.
You said she gave you a light drag. She gave you.
Yes. And it was about, you know, accessing, or like where I'm putting my energy, you know, and like where I'm applying, you know, my gaze, right? Like who's getting it, you know, and allowing ourselves to be caught up in these rushes and these brush fires, again, these like social media brush fires, you know, and like posting things that just posting a thing or like sharing a thing that's like, I find this outrageous, you know? So I say that in that way that I'm speaking to myself as well, because it's just so easy, especially if you are not sociopathic, right? And you have like some access to empathy, especially if you are, you know, physically aligned or energetically aligned or intellectually aligned with like disenfranchised, marginalized people, you know, like I feel like it's that much easier to get like, you know, caught up in the fire of it. And I think for those of us who have access to and the resources to do like cultivate practices to differentiate, like where can we actually be most useful, you know? And be kind of rigorous about that as well. Because it's like, I don't know how useful it is for me to even be looking at like videos. Like I didn't watch it, but you know what I mean? Like even really be engaging with like, you know, the videos of the dumpster, you know what I mean? Where it's just like, all right, like I have access to that information. I have access to that frequency of energy, you know? So how do we craft it? Like, how do we craft the ways in which we are interacting with these shadow frequencies, with these frequencies that are showing us fear and scarcity consciousness and these things we've labeled these ills, right? So it's like, what's the surgical plan almost, you know? If we're all healing ourselves, right? And it's like, we're all sick and we're all showing up to be, and if we're all sick and the question is like, whether or not you're willing to do the work to heal and be healed, right? For those of us, since this is a self-care podcast, for those of us who are like, okay, I'm in a place where I'm acknowledging, because honestly, girl, that's who the fuck is listening to us. Like, there ain't no maggots out here being like, those niggers making points. Like, no, right? So it's like when the people were like, yes, like something feels amiss, no matter who you are, you know, because I feel like you and I are here, both pro-Black, you know, ladies on the podcast, also being like, there's shit we got to work out. There's shit that feels unstable, you know. So I guess I'm offering us an invitation, you know, and like space to, and also a request to have space held for me to like work out our RX plans, you know, like what's the treatment plan, you know, and finding out like what is our very unique and personal treatment plan, no matter who you are, you know? So like, if you've shown up, if you're at the doctor's office, which is like yourself, right? Right. Cause you're your own doctor.
Yeah.
What do we love the shaman say? You want to heal the world, you heal yourself. Okay. So you showing up and you're your own shaman, right? Cause you're with yourself all the time, you know? Like, you could see, and I knew this rich-ass lady who literally would see, like, 12, 15 fucking specialists a week. She would see her, you know, her, like, acupuncturist. She would see her facialist. She would see her cranial sacral massage. She would see her myofascial release person. You know, she would see, you know, like, so-and-so and this and that and blah, blah, blah. She would see, like, her chakra meditator. She would see, you know, like, all of, like, her nipple tweaker, her, like, corn remover, like, her bunion shaver. Like, she just had all of these, like, yeah. People that she would see, and she would just work on things and take classes and all this stuff and do all this thing, throw all this money at the self-improvement. And I just knew this woman. I was like fairly close to her for a number of years, and I would just be like, but what's different about you? Because you still seem like you're a pretentious piece of shit. I'm not sure what's happening. Anyway, I say all that to say, even if you're throwing all that money and all that time and all that energy at all of those quote-unquote healers, the one healer that you're never getting away from and you always get to be with is yourself. And you're there with that motherfucker all the time. And this is why we talk about the observational self, and this is why we talk about the avatar self and the higher self in meditation. It's because it's like, okay, you have access to all of that information. And sometimes, yes, you do go, I mean, Lord knows I do it. Shout out Flo. Shout out Revolutionary Mystic. Shout out Regine Sawyer. Shout out Emily Cipriani, shout out Jenny Weaver. You know, like, I have advisors and people who are connected to their third eye, and I'm just like, yo, could you please, would you, I don't know, blah, right? And it's all in pursuit of trusting and creating that vocabulary, creating that prescriptive, that treatment plan with my higher self, because there's nothing wrong with collaboration, and there's nothing wrong with getting, you know, multiple opinions, I think, depending on the situation. So that, I want to really hold space for that. I want to really ask for space to be held for me for that, because I feel like, going back to a thing I sort of touched on a little bit earlier, where it's just like everybody is out of sorts with all the information that is being, you know, thrust at us suddenly. You know, like, it's just like for Black people, like, some, like Roz mm-hmm. the Diva, another genius fucking Black woman.
She's posted amazing.
She's amazing. Ma'am, listen. Also, I'm really liking her longer hair. I should probably tell her that myself. Anyway, she posted a thing on Insta the other day where she was like, listen, y'all, you got to understand, like, you just, like, give Black people a second. you know, like, I don't want to mangle her words, but what felt resonant to me and really reflective of where I am is just like was like, we don't even really know what to do with this influx, you know? And we talked about it last week in terms of like the suspicion, where it's just like, how long, where is this coming from? Is this trendy? Do you mean it? Are you still going to be this zealous about it like 6 weeks from now? Because I'm still going to be a nigga 6 weeks from now, you know? So like, what, like, what's up? You know, like, are you in it for the long haul? Like, is this trendy? What's going on? You know? And so now we've sort of come back to, again, the cycle in the conversation, you know, or it just even in this podcast where it's like, and here we go again, you know, using your critical thinking. Who's on that bullshit? You know what I mean? Just like you posted about, just like I mentioned last week with Rhymes with Blana, you know, and I have receipts and I'm like, do I drop these? I don't know. What do we do? You know, it's just like,
you speak your truth as best as you can.
Word,
you know, and if it's time to drop receipts, because I definitely have receipts.
Indeed.
and we drop them, you know, because I think also us as we're wrapping up, like, as marginalized folks, you get gaslit all the time.
Right.
Like, no, that didn't happen. It's not the way she said it did. And, you know, but, you know, she did this to me. you know, this, that, the third, and then we look at ourselves like, did I do something? Did I do this? Did I do that? You know, did I do something detrimental to somebody? I mean, that's the basic thing. If I did something petty, I did something petty. But at the same time, did I do something detrimental? Like, totally, like, detrimental. And when I say petty, did I do something silly?
Right.
You know, but if I did something detrimental, did I do this, that? And then, you know, you do the review, because I did the review. It's like, no, I'm not crazy. That's what happened. And, you know, like I said, I spoke my truth. And then other folks were like, oh, is this so-and-so? It's like, yeah, this happened and that happened. I'm like, really? Like, okay, it's not just me. But it's also sad that we have to get that confirmation. We can't just say, yo, this happened and that's it.
But again, you know, it goes back to this habituation of like, well, we can't just believe them. They have to be making it up. Like, at least to a degree. They have to be exaggerating. It can't possibly be that bad. You know, it goes back to that tweet where it's like the rebuttal instead of the reflection. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, like various people, and I'm sure that I've done that. You know, like I've had, you know, family members, you know, I say a thing. Like it's so innocuous. It's so innocuous sometimes where, like, I'm thinking of an experience where I updated, like, my laptop was like, I'm gonna update our operating system. And I was like, okay. And I went to bed and I woke up the next morning and I had this weird bug, like, on my Safari, you know? And I was like, and to people, I was like, this thing is happening. And I don't know. And I think it happened when it updated. And cause like prior to the update, it was fine. And then after the update, this happened. And people were like, no, that's not possible. And I was like, but I'm telling you that this was my experience. Right. So like things are sort of like banal and mundane as that too, you know, like Lupita Nyong'o being like, yeah, Harvey Weinstein wanted me to touch his dick too. And Harvey Weinstein was like, that's preposterous. You know, and sort of everything kind of in between and beyond.
I have to say this. I'm like, so I'm preposterous, but the other 50 women aren't.
Okay. Exactly. Well, the other 50 women, I can't speak on it because, like, you know, it's true. But like the fact the world would ever think that I would ever want you. I would ever want you with your black hands, with your black nigger hands touching my yeah. Oh no, like, okay. And which again goes back to your point of like hating the thing to which they're attracted. I mean, I don't even want to connect that to Harvey Weinstein, even though it is connected. You know what I mean. And power and the things that you can't have and, you know, what makes you feel gratified and validated, you know. And imagine being in a space where you felt so small that like that was how you expressed power. That's how you express power. It's like people who hurt animals. Don't even get me started on that shit with the animals and the things. Because, you know, that's a whole other conversation that I can get into.
It totally is. But, I mean, girl, there's so much that we could talk about. We could go on for hours and a day.
I can't believe we rocked it out in 90 minutes. I feel like it was 20 minutes, like, 10 minutes ago.
Guys, I promise you, we were trying to shorten things. But, you know, this is a time in which I think we should have a little leeway.
You know what? Yeah, I'm gonna let that ride. That's
given,
true.
Given the circumstances, but you know, maybe at a certain point we'll be, you know, doing an hour. But there's just so much going on that I think I'm not here to curtail for what a black woman wants to say.
You know what?
Okay.
Snaps. And you know what? Listen, you don't want to listen to the whole thing. Don't listen to the fucking whole thing. Do what you gotta do.
You know.
Yeah. You be the sovereign authority of your space.
That's right. That's correct. But so tell the folks do you have anything going on later this week? Any meditation?
I mean, I want to talk about Drink, Draw, and Poll. You know, Regine is once again one of the greatest, most successful fundraisers. A couple of like synergistic hosts can boast. So not only for Women in Comics, but also for the place that's hosting it this year and for the past couple years now, so S Factor in New York.
Yes.
Which is actually how Regina and I know each other. So so there's that. So that's happening on the 20th. So check out her, one of the things, it's her social media handles for that. And it's going to be live virtual figure drawing with some dancing. So you're going to see some a variety of really wonderful ladies moving and holding poses. So if you feel like you want to come out and slap some charcoal on some paper and get into some pencils and write some pens and some colored whatnots for a good cause, check that out. So that's what's up with that. That in some ways is the thing that I have going on. Oops, I think I have, things are happening. Okay, oh, hold on. I'm having a situation go on. Anyway, so that's what's popping on that.
And that's at 6 p.m. EST.
Yes, tell them. Hold on, you tell them. I got to go do a thing real quick.
June 20th. And just like Elka said, there'll be live figure drawing. They'll have pole fitness models that'll include teachers and students. The charity that we're raising funds for is the Bank Foundation, and the Bank Foundation is collecting donations to help support comic book shops and local bookshops that are kind of suffering during the COVID-19 pandemic. So we definitely want to support them and their endeavors in our local comic book shops and stores. So donations is a suggested price of $25, but feel free to give whatever you want. You can just go to the @WomenInComicsNY Twitter handle. You can click the link in our bio, and that's our website. Go to Drink, Draw, and Poll, and you can get a ticket. You can also go to sfactor.com. Go to New York under the menu, and you can also get a ticket that way too. And they're also accepting Venmo. They're accepting Venmo. Their handle is at sfactornyc. And you can just donate whatever you like to their Venmo and just give them an email at nyinfo@sfactor.com and just let them know that you purchased a ticket, send them your receipt, and you'll be all set with that.
Nice.
I hope to see you guys out there. This is via Zoom. It is virtual. So I will be your host. It'll be fun. I got some nice music playlists for you.
Blah, blah, blah.
Amazing models, all different shapes, sizes, skin tones. It's beautiful. It's melanated. You'll love it. So definitely check that out. But we will be back next week. But I say this every week. You never know. We might pop up on another day because things are just so crazy, because every day, moment in time is different. We don't know what's going on in this world, but we definitely want to keep in tune, in touch, and in and about our community. That's highly important to us. And for anybody who got on this podcast late, don't worry. I'll be uploading it to Spotify and Podbean later this evening.
Right on.
But thank you. We appreciate you all. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other.
That's it.
Okay. So take care and be well, guys.
Bye. Yes. Bye.